the Calcio Podcast, episode 114. Listeners, ciao. Thanks for tuning in. What's up, folks? Welcome. We had a lot of fun recording the episode this week. We had a number of just glorious, stupid things to discuss, actually, which we were blessed with. We're going to start off with a little bit of a different tone. We got a little monologue set up. We have a nice little philosophical debate on how the best way to die is. We'll also talk about what's going on with Napoli. They've been falling apart for a number of weeks now, but they have a game in hand, bro. So it's still possible. Title is still theirs, man. It's still in the bag. We'll talk about if Rino Gattuso might be getting the sack anytime soon. We'll discuss if Zlatan should have a statue built for him on the Rossonero side of Milan. We'll discuss the complications that that might entail and whether or not it is actually a good idea. We'll talk about Antonio Conte flipping Andrea Agnelli the bird, featuring a statement from the man himself who was the target of this rather colorful expression of opinion. Mr. Don Agnelli himself, live on the podcast, issues a statement on Antonio Conte. So you won't want to miss that. We'll also discuss Spezia and what's going on there. There may be a little takeover going on, another American who might buy into Serie A. We'll discuss if they actually may have a project going forward. Of course, they've got a manager with a cool name, so that's obviously a start. We'll discuss a lot more, man. We'll discuss Atalanta making it through to the Coppa Italia final, what's going on with the project there. And we have a ton of segments to get to. And to be honest, probably an all-time, actually, it is an all-time Only in Italy segment involving fascism, 'Ndrangheta, mafia, Gomorra, possible murder, a prediction of murder, scandal, resignation, and gender norms, actually. So, quite the packed Only in Italy segment. You will not want to miss it. Jenna Lady and I had a lot of fun chatting and riffing, as usual. So, listeners, sit back, relax, and enjoy. Now, without further ado, Pino, take it away. Dai, let's go.
Però, Catenazzo, che donna sei. Io delle donne non mi fido, il corteggiamento è un rito, troppo spesso si finisce che una donna ti tradisce. E non mi importa se son bionde, non mi importa se son more, a me basta che siano tonde e disposte a far l'amore. Io da bambino veramente fui cacciato dalla scuola perché la professoressa mi faceva molto gola quando facevo il militare. Poi la moglie del tenente mi faceva le moine, Dio la presi tra la gente, perciò bambina, se sono qui per te stasera è una fortuna.
Andiamo! Let's go, Nick. Gentlelady, how's it going, bro?
Sam, doing well. Happy to be back on a normal schedule, I guess. 2 weeks in a row. It's been a while since that.
This is strange. Yeah, I know. I've been having a cover for you with exceptional guests over an entire month, and this is weird. We haven't been able to get into a real 2021 flow yet. So I think it's time we do so. And I gotta say, I was getting tired of breaking down game by game, actual action. I have a lot of things.
You're dying inside.
I have so many things noted this week that I want to talk about, and I realized that like so few of them actually relate to matches, and I think we've been doing that organically for a while, but it never really hit me until today. I was like, holy shit! Now that Nick is on, I'm just. And again, we had a lot
it's
of
all
fun
pent
playing.
Up. It's pent up. It's pent up OG podcast content that you just, yeah. You people, the co-hosts wouldn't get it, you know, and it's not their fault.
Yeah. And
it's
I was going to say, I still had a great time. We had Sharma, we had Nima, we had Greg Caltabanis on. They were all very great guests. They all played around. They were a lot of fun to have on. Good listens through when I listened back, but it's just different. Yeah. That's totally it. So listeners, welcome to episode number 114 of the Calcio Podcast. Sam Adamo coming at you.
Sam, so- I have a proposition to, I think would be a perfect time to say it actually. And it's very well related to, I guess, what you just mentioned about we organically talk about other things. We should have we'll give it a better name, but it should be like a housekeeping segment at the beginning where we have to share a few things with each other at the beginning. We don't
have
to label it housekeeping because everybody labels it housekeeping.
We're not gonna do that.
But I don't have a name for it yet. So I'm saying like that's what it's gonna be, but we have to find a name for it.
I don't know if I'm down for a name for a segment that should happen.
Opening segment.
Anyway.
How about that? Oh, my point is time.
Do you want to adopt
time reserved? to just, you know, exchange a few pleasantries.
Do you want to go for like an SNL style, a Saturday Night Live style monologue where one of us just, you know, we can do, we can have a guest on every week and we just have him like write a 5-minute monologue, write some politically charged jokes, mostly politically correct, mostly like very, I don't know.
Okay, leave it to you to take it too far.
We'll have guests come on and rant against the Republican Party, and then we'll have one person come on occasionally and just say some stuff that's a little edgy, and then we'll put in the background. Maybe we can get like a virtual Zoom audience, and just unmute them all and have them go, "Ooh, he said it," because that's basically what happens on every SNL monologue. Like the one, like when Bill Burr goes on a monologue and just picks apart whatever.
Are you done with your rant?
Well, that's it's an option if you want to name it. I don't know. I do have a couple things I want to talk about though. First of all, I actually thought today, I wasn't sure if I would do you the ultimate disrespect of defaming your name. But I told myself today I might introduce you as, "Welcome to the podcast, Nick. I don't reply to Snap polls, Genaletti." Every time I send you a Snapchat poll. So, you know, you've all done this before, right? You're on Snapchat. You send a snap to the boys. You send a snap to people and you say, "Quick poll, this or that." And you never answer any Snapchat. You just open and leave on red. And listen, I understand the whole idea of Snapchat etiquette. You're under no obligation to answer anything that I sent to you, right? I sent it to you. You didn't ask me to send it to you.
Thank you for validating that for me when I needed absolutely none of it.
It's like a phone call. Someone calls me, right? And they say, why aren't you answering my calls? Well, I don't know. Maybe because it's intrusive and I don't want to fucking answer the call. I don't know. I feel very strongly about phone calls in that way. I drive people I know crazy. I think Snapchats are the same thing. However, you're the only friend who doesn't answer the snaps during the day. So I asked you today a question that I thought was very thought provoking. I thought it was interesting. I want all the listeners to think about this right now, because we're going to put you on the spot and you're going to answer this now before we get into the Calcio action. Would you rather die laughing or die nutting? Would you rather die busting a nut or would you rather die laughing?
So first of all, I want to say that it's not all about you. You don't have to be egotistical. I don't answer anyone's snaps. It's not just you. You're the only friend. I don't answer anyone's snaps, Sam.
You don't answer DMs either. You answer Twitter DMs often. You answer Twitter DMs.
That's it.
Which is actually how you keep up to date on most. It's actually how you keep up to date on most Calcio action.
Yeah. So, great place. Calcio Twitter could be a great place, and it could be sometimes it's a little scary place, but I'm not a big answerer on all platforms. I'm sorry.
Okay, do you answer them on podcasts when you're asked a direct question?
I don't understand the benefit of like dying laughing.
My thinking was okay. So
because you're having fun, so like die while you're having fun.
Die of laughter or die while busting a nut. So, because I was thinking today, like, what would be a hell of a way to go out? I was in a Spanish class today. I was in a work mandated Spanish class, or not a work mandated Spanish class, but a Spanish class offered at work. We're talking about sense of humor in the class, and it hit me in the middle of class. I asked myself, I wonder if anyone's actually ever died of laughter. I wonder if anyone's ever like just fucking laughed so hard they busted a gasket. I don't know if that's actually a real thing or if it's just an expression that people use, or I don't know if it's someone was sent into cardiac arrest because they were laughing so hard they couldn't breathe. Maybe they suffocated. I don't know. And then I thought of this story that I heard last week of some lion, I think at a zoo in, was it Malaysia? They talked about it on Part of My Take. It was like a lion at a zoo in Malaysia who died while getting either engaging in intercourse with a female lion or getting masturbated with the aim of procreation. And they were stimulating him up his rectum and it killed him. And as he died, he ejaculated as he died. And they were saying, what a fucking way to go out. My God. And that's it. I don't know. It immediately hit me. Holy shit. Those are two really great ways to go out. I mean, you can't have a more epic way to go out. Most of my friends said they'd rather go out nutting. They said, One guy said, yeah, it's,
I would think so.
What did he call it? What did he call it?
I don't see the pro side of dying.
He called it the holy nut. The holy nut. Well, because usually when you're laughing so hard that you can't breathe, it's like the best feeling in the world. I think it would be horrible.
That's your rationale. I don't really think that's a good argument to think that you would choose dying laughing, to be honest.
You ever been to a comedy show? You ever been to like a stand-up show or something? You go to Just for Laughs in Montreal and you're just laughing like crazy. Your stomach is hurting the whole time. It's a great feeling. Like that getting so bad that it kills you. I don't know. I think it would actually be unpleasant, but you say nutting. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Was that so hard?
That may be more one of the more random questions I've ever had to field on this podcast. And I honestly did not see that snap this afternoon.
It was bugging me all day. So
I live rent free in your head, as they say. So.
Well, apparently with good reason. I'm finding out that you're opening Snapchats and not even reading them and just tapping through. Like, what a fucking asshole are you?
I have something else that I wanted to bring up. I was on the Calcho guys, right, Sam?
We are the Calcho podcast. You were on the Calcho guys.
I know. Just needed to get that reaction out of you.
We are the natural podcast. They are the
guys. I'm sure some listen. Yeah, great guys. It was a great listen. I don't think they put out an episode weekly, so that's probably their latest one still. So if you haven't, go listen. If you want to hear some slightly outdated Milan talk, I guess. But a lot of jokes are being thrown around on Twitter and by the Il Presidente of the Milan Club Montreal. About how I would have a lot more time to speak on the Calcio guys than I do on my own pod, and you got dragged pretty hard on Twitter, and it was a pretty long-standing joke on their episode two last week. So I wanted to hear your thoughts on your name being dragged through the mud, all starting from when we both went on the Milan Weekly pod. It kind of snowballed there. I've always made the joke. When you interrupt me, but I mean, joking, not joking, but this ongoing joke in the Twitter sphere has really snowballed since we went on the Milan Weekly Pod.
Has it snowballed?
I think so. I mean, fuck.
How's it snowballed?
I think there was pretty big, bro. It went from Twitter to we were making jokes. The Calcio guys were even making jokes about it. Just wanted to hear your response.
I command the room. I command the room. Yeah, I guess that's it. Speaking of Milan, hey, can we just talk about the fact that these Milan throwback posts on Instagram and Twitter?
I send them to you every time I see.
They need to stop. I can't believe we've gone this long without bringing it up, but.
At least on Twitter.
We might have we might have alluded to it on a pod before, but I think it's actually getting to a point now where you have to have fun with it. And what you should do is, like, I don't think it makes sense to take a shot every time you see it because it's inconvenient, right? You could be out, you could be scrolling Twitter in public.
You would also just die.
Without
you'd be
access.
An alcoholic. You'd be having a shot.
You wouldn't be an alcoholic, but you see it a couple of times a week, to be fair. So what I recommend is you want to play a drinking game. What you do is you tally it up every time you see it during a week. And at the end of the week in one sitting on a Friday night, you have to take a shot for every single Milan throwback post that you've seen. You know the post I'm talking about. Listeners, it's like Andrea Pirlo, Ronaldinho, and Beckham all lining up in front of the ball saying, who would you have take a penalty? A free kick with the fucking emoji with the hearts for
that's
eyes?
A good one.
Or just the starting 11. The starting 11 with Maldini, Nesta, Gattuso.
Yeah, yeah.
Milan circa 2006 were stacked. Oh, my God. Or, oh, my God, look how much Milan have fallen.
Like, no, you honestly don't, it's funny how you actually don't really see the, you don't even see those anymore. I feel like now that we've like risen more to like, I guess like media coverage, like probably, like, I don't know, like whatever.
You're very clearly a better team now than you were.
Yeah. Well, as a result of being a better team, right? And I don't know, like, I feel like these throwbacks have been you know, coming out more because of that. Like, people are just like, oh, like, they're whatever. But another one is, yeah, like Milan back in the, what caption is it? Is
Milan
it
Milan back where, like, they belong? They're back where they belong.
No, back in the day with the whatever, with the hard eyes or whatever, all that crap. Like, it's so, it's always the same pictures,
it's
too.
It's the lowest.
There's
got to
be more. There's got to be more pictures, but it's always the same ones. Like, how many pictures do you think on Google you could find of Pirlo and I don't know, fucking Kaká standing over a free kick together? There's probably 10s, 20s. We always see the same ones.
Just Paolo Maldini alone with the ball gracefully, just floating across the pitch with his hair in the wind. And I don't know, they'll caption it, greatest of all time, ? I don't know. Just, there's a lot of that content in general. I've always found it weird, actually, how some people build a following and a huge following off of just posting pictures with really corny captions, especially the case on Insta. It's Insta and Twitter, actually. It's a little bit of both, but I don't know. The Milan one's driving. Okay, so I'm glad you agree.
Yeah, for sure.
So drinking game. Maybe we should actually start. Here's another brilliant idea that we always come up with but never follow through on. But I think that could be a goal of ours in 2021. Fuck, Toronto just scored. Watching hockey in the background here, motherfucker. Toronto's playing Montreal. Sorry. Side note. The listeners in Australia don't care about ice hockey. I think that could be a goal for 2021 now. And I think we could set resolutions because it's only your second pod of the year. Let's actually follow through on some of the shit we say we're going to do on the pod. So, which ironically, if we don't follow through on that resolution, it's kind of like if Pinocchio says my nose will grow, what happens type of situation, you know? But I think we should start tallying up all of the Milan throwbacks that we'll see for like a month. I don't know, make every few episodes, and we have to line up shots and do them before the pod. I think that's fair.
Okay, so I think that's doable. The best idea is we just DM it to each other.
We DM it to each other, and we tally them up.
So starting from today, Wednesday, February 10th.
Yeah. You know what's so actually the
Feb 10 to March 10th. Let's do it. Okay, just say so it now. Let's do it.
I would actually say a better way of doing it here. I'll make it even easier. It doesn't have to be every single month. It just has to be when we think about it. So if we found one in the last week, then we both have to take a shot, whatever. If we forget about it for like 2 months and we've got like 5, 6, 7, 8 tallied up, then we've got to do, we've got a lot of fucking.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see as it goes. Yeah. We'll
okay.
See
okay. Goes. Fair. Fine.
But I think the control experiment is, let's just see in a month how many we see. We got to.
Okay. Why don't we get to some calcio? Why don't we actually get to some?
I wanted to start a discussion quick, but before going over results and stuff. I mean, just now that we're on Milan, you know, Zlatan scored a brace, right? And we haven't necessarily been talking about him that much recently because of injuries and to be honest with you, just not playing.
I think the statue of limitation on talking about how good Zlatan is past.
No, I need to talk about it anymore. I wanted to ask a question. I'm not a question. Well, fuck you for interrupting me. First of all, second of all,
this is Presidente's prophecy coming to be.
It's not a prophecy. It's you. But you know, he's on 14. This man is on 14 goals now in 11 games, and I'm not talking about him within the league. What I'm saying is, We need to find a place to cement Zlatan's legacy, because I can't stand the people that are on Twitter that are saying like Zlatan greater than Ronaldo is the GOAT, because like I think that's objectively ridiculous personally. But if there's a tier literally right below Cristiano Ronaldo, I honestly just think, you know, and shout out Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, like we saw like greatness at an old age like this weekend too. And not to compare the two, because Tom Brady has like whatever, he has like a bunch of titles within his whatever his career compared to Zlatan, who I guess doesn't have any Champions Leagues, which a lot of people knock him on for. But anyway, without that side tangent, I just like Zlatan needs to be there at like right behind Ronaldo for me. And I told the Calcio guys on Thursday, I said, if God willing, Milan wins the title this year, like if God willing, a statue needs to be built of Zlatan. A documentary, like a last dance.
I think that's crazy. He hasn't been there enough years. Cumulatively, he won't have been there enough years.
It's not about that. It's not about that. It's the timing. It's the story. It's the context. The last time Milan won was when he was on the team 10 years ago. It's just all that combined. I just think it's just like, I enjoy seeing monumental, like, either runs or moments in sports. And I'm not going to lie, I haven't seen much of that with any of my sports teams across all sports teams, without going on another side tangent. But, you know, we're seeing like a real moment that could potentially go down in history. I mean, still will. We've had a crazy run. But if Milan were to cross that finish line, and I said God willing, because I'm not jinxing anything, it's something I think that, it's just a pillar in, you know, we're living this potential historic moment. Like at the age of 24, it might just be one of those pillar moments we ever see.
I'm 23 still. So
sorry.
Take it easy. Take it easy there, old man. Don't shock me. Don't shock me in with your cohort. Fucking any listeners over the age of, I don't know. Any listener over the age of 40, 30, 35, 40 is just losing their mind right now, punching the air, wanting to kill us for even being stickling over that. Okay. Devil's advocate. Just like shut up, you stupid Gen Z kids. Devil's advocate. I think Zlatan spent too much time at PSG. That's what I think. He spent too much of his prime at PSG.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I think that probably takes away some of the sparkle to the myth of Zlatan. Again, he had excellent years there. He tore it the fuck up. I think he moved there at 30. So
you can also he shined a light on the Liga along with going to PSG with like Thiago Silva.
You can make that case. I would argue that him being at PSG and winning a, you know, what was effectively a Mickey Mouse title for many years, because of everything that PSG were able to do that other teams weren't able to match and so on and so forth.
Of course.
The level of competition in the league, you know, it's an excellent league, but let's not kid ourselves.
Still scored an outrageous amount of goals there too. He's almost a goal a game.
Yeah. And look, I'm not trying to be like one of those Twitter reply hipsters. Guys. I don't know. The one of those Twitter reply guys who just says farmers league.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Okay. That's not what I'm saying. But you know what I mean. It's not the same as if he had been tearing it up in Liga for PSG and winning the Champions League maybe once or twice. You know, even going on a run, going to a semifinal, never, man. So there's that. I also think to your whole statue point, it would presumably have to be outside of their training ground because you can't put it outside San Siro since. I guess nor one nor the other team kind of monopolizes the ground.
You can't.
But I think there's a bit of recency bias there. I think you're kind of falling victim to the moment, and I think you're getting.
But it's not recent.
In the romance of it all right now, but I think in the grand scheme of things, hang on, him coming back to Milan and winning a title for the first time in 10 years isn't statue worthy. I think it's incredible. I think it's something you'll remember. Sure, it's something fans will remember. But statue shit is different shit, man. Statue shit is like when you're a club legend you're at the club for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. You win a lot of shit with the club. So I wouldn't do it.
We're not gonna talk about this forever. But just to close out here, like my point being is he would be a club legend. Like even though he's not a one club man and he played on Juve and he played on Inter, he would be a club legend. And it's not recency bias because.
I think it is. Because
I remember the last time that we won, and you have to put into context the dark spell that the club's had for like the greater part of the last decade, and you have to put all of that together. And the fact that when he came, and it's not all him, obviously things off the pitch have turned around and at the board level as well, but. When you think about pillar moments in sports, you don't think about the day that Gazidis came in as the CEO, even though he's doing like you think about the players on the pitch. And
let me give you an example.
He would be a club legend. You would be wrong at that 100%. You have no what you say anyways about who would be a Milan club legend doesn't hold much weight, to be honest. But
well, I have eyes. I see what I see. I think you don't have the connection.
You don't have the connection. Okay. That's the point.
It's the intangible shit. Right. Okay. Well, let me give you an example. I think Claudio Marchisio could probably, you could make the case that he deserves a statue at, you know, in Torino. I don't think that'll happen. He was iconic for a generation.
He was a part of a team that was winning. Let me finish.
I think he deserves a statue in the city of Turin for Juve more than, say, Antonio Conte does. And before we get to Antonio Conte, there's a lot of Antonio Conte.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The logic would be the same, which is that Antonio Conte is kind of he was kind of the key figure that lifted Juve out of a dark period, our darkest period ever, right? And brought us back to prominence. Who was responsible for that? I can't really say that it was any one player. Maybe you can make the case like Giorgio Chiellini was a part of it. Gianluigi Buffon, but I don't know.
I feel like Chiellini would be the most statue worthy, in my opinion. If we're having a statue off here,
right?
Should we do a five-a-side of people that should get statues built? No, that people, players that deserve statues once they retire. Yes. I think you should actually book that down.
Yeah. Okay. I just wrote it down. We'll do it. But I think that Antonio Conte breaking the spell doesn't merit a statue. Say he retires in 2014 and doesn't go on to coach Inter and go on to be a fucking cunt, okay? Which he is. We'll get to that. I don't think he gets a statue, you know? And bearing in mind that Antonio Conte was a captain for the club already and won titles with the club, came back, was like this, you know, this prodigal, you know, not even a prodigal son type figure, but he was a heroic figure coming back and winning a title. You could make the case, much like you are with Zlatan, that he had success, left, came back, and pulled you out of the dark ages, that Antonio Conte could deserve a statue. I would argue that in neither case, the person in question deserves a statue. I think that like having it done for somebody who's been a servant of the club for a longer period of time makes more sense. That's why
I don't know if Claudio Marchisio was ever getting a statue.
Let's be honest, you have too much history. He's one of a slew of many good players that have played for the club. But Sam, you say that because of
the way like Antonio Conte has, I guess, shown. I don't know the way he behaves towards Juventus now after he's left, I guess.
I'm saying even in 2014, if he had retired and never coached again and fallen off the face of the earth,
say he died in 2014.
He wouldn't have deserved a statue.
We'll take this conversation into our five-a-side of
get at statues. Us on Twitter. Get at us on Twitter at Calcio Podcast. Share your thoughts.
Stay tuned.
Does Zlatan deserve a statue? Sure. Okay. Antonio Conte is a fucking cunt. I have a question for you, Nick. How bad would you have to hate an ex-employer to flash him the bird on live TV?
First of all, I just want to correct you before if I get roasted on Twitter. He deserves a statue built for him if they win the Scudetto, not like he could retire and we finish it.
Oh, bud, we already agree. You're winning the Scudetto. You're winning.
No, I said if. I said God willing, and I swear to God,
I'm not trying to jinx you right now. I'm not trying to jinx you at all. It's got nothing to do with that. You guys are winning the title. You have it wrapped up. It's yours. Take it.
What would an employer have to have done
to you for you to do that?
Not give me an unreasonable more amount of money than I should be allowed to have, I guess.
That would be enough for you to do that.
I'm joking. It's enough for Antonio Conte.
I want you to think about this long and hard. What would someone have to do to make you that bitter?
So I'll answer your question with another question, actually. You are maybe a statement. We'll see where it goes. You, as a rational human being like myself, would answer that question a lot. They would have to disrespect me, might do something ridiculous to my family.
They'd have to insult my mother. My mother, my wife, and my grandmother. Probably.
Exactly. Right? For a rational person like you and me.
Yeah.
Antonio Conte probably would too. And Antonio Conte is not a rational person, clearly, or not in tune with his emotions or able to contain his emotions. He's a fucking baby.
You know what my dad said?
He's a baby.
You know what my dad said when he saw this? He had a good point. He said, oh, fuck. They're going to paint and they're going to point to him and say, look at this uneducated, unrefined, unrefined, aggressive, angry, emotional Southerner. Look at this. That's what this is bad. He's not helping his case. That's what my father said. You know what? He's bang on. He's bang on. That's the joke with Conte. A lot of non-Italian speakers don't understand that he's mocked for a number of reasons. He was also revered and kind of like, you know, I guess colloquially loved as a cult figure, as the Azzurri manager, because in press conferences and stuff, he didn't sound like a very refined person who speaks Italian like what you'll hear on Rai, you know?
Yeah.
There was that one press conference, I think in 2011, where he was first embroiled in a match-fixing scandal, which we should state for the record, was acquitted for completely, when apparently at Siena, there might have been some foul play going on, and he apparently, again, the investigation, I think, was that what was happening because of accusations that he told his team to throw a game, or today we tie, and he was in a press conference talking about how just preposterous that is, and he says, what the fuck, like, what am I going to say? Hey, today, boys, let's take it easy. Oggi, ragazzi, facciamo pareggio. And then he went on to say, agghiacciante quello che dicono. The word is agghiacciante, te, with a T, agghiacciante. And he just, whatever, it's a Southern Italian, again, it's a nuance of Italian, sitting on my high horse here, but preaching, but literally, he's at agghiacciante with a D. It's like a lazy way of speaking in Puglia, where he's from. And that was mocked. That became a meme. And that sort of narrative continued for a number of years. And again, I think, and I'm not railing on classism in Italy here, but I think he really, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, really, more than anything. He's so petty. We've been joking for so long about
he's a baby. He's a big media. Baby.
But this is, you know what? This is next level shit. Like him and Jose Mourinho, he is a mini Mourinho in some ways. He's a little bit younger, very bitter, very angry, complains in the media. Yep. About weird things, complains about
transfer policy. Set in his ways.
Very set in his ways, very stubborn. Again, they're not identical, but yeah. And hasn't Mourinho done some really stupid shit as well? I don't think he's ever given anyone the finger, but he's done some really classless shit on the bench too, or just I don't know, stuff that's around. Getting mad about on Twitter. Stuff that I've
where,
seen.
Where was he? Where is when he was on? Was it when he was on United? I don't remember who he played when he at oh,
yeah,
the end
he
of cupped the game
his ear. There was exactly that exactly.
Where,
that was
where,
one of,
who was that against?
It was against Juve.
That was against Juve.
So the Inter fans were loving it. They were saying uno di noi, one of us.
Another one was when he was getting criticized in a press conference at United again, where he just like out of nowhere started telling the reporter he had to respect him because he has more Premier League titles than every manager in the rest of the league combined. And he kept holding up like the two or the three, you know, like some shit like that. So it's like, no, one, two is more. Oh my God. Unreal. Absolutely unreal.
That's funny.
He has so many good moments.
There have actually been a couple of... You just reminded me of two really fucking unreal memes that I've seen. One was... And again, I'm going to butcher them, but one was... some really stupid story of a guy. Again, I don't remember the details of it, but some guy came home...
Starting found, off really
found his, it was some guy came home, found his girlfriend getting banged by four guys, and I think someone like tweeted a picture of... was it Eden Hazard or I fucking don't remember who it was. Some guy who had just scored four goals against a top side. I don't know. I think it might have been in the Premier League. One minnow was upsetting another, and after the fourth goal went in, one player kind of holds up his hands and goes, "Oh shit, four!" And someone tweeted it out, kind of like. As a reply to that guy. I actually remember what it was. It was a guy who took to Twitter to say...
You butchered that.
How good is this? Guy took to Twitter to say, very upset, came home to find my girlfriend getting banged by four dudes today. Can't believe I trusted her. I was going to marry this girl. Something like that. The top reply is some player holding up four. Fuck. So random. Why does my brain work this way? Look, let's get back to the main point. Antonio Conte's a piece of shit. So this is obviously to do with the fact that Juve knocked him out of the Coppa Italia over two legs, 0-0 draw yesterday. We're recording this podcast on Wednesday, the 10th of February. So at halftime, Antonio Conte was very, very discreetly seen. Just for a second, just flipping the bird, flipping the middle finger.
Discreet. I don't think it was that discreet.
It was like for a second though, when he pulled it back, it was cowardly, man. It was like he was doing it behind his back, hoping that nobody would see. You're a fucking idiot. Everything is caught on camera. But yeah, so I don't know.
So who is he flipping off directly?
No, he was flipping off Andrea Agnelli. And apparently, allegedly, and apparently Andrea Agnelli, I guess, might have gotten calls, texts, whatever, at halftime. His friends were probably saying, yo, check Twitter, bro. My God, look at what this fucker, look at what this fucking guy Conte did to you. He saw it. And at the end of the game, as he was walking off, he actually came down and said, stick that finger up your ass, you fucking prick, or something like that.
But why did he, so Agnelli, this is what I failed to understand, because like I didn't look into the situation too deeply. I saw the clip, obviously. Like, was Agnelli barking at him? Like, why did he?
No, I don't believe so. I believe he just did it going into the dressing room. I don't know why. It's super unclear like, as
it,
to why it
like
happened.
Like, if it's just random and he just did it, well, like that, that makes it, to be. That makes that's it like 10 million times worse.
It was like he had the opportunity to do it, so he did it. For the first time, he had the opportunity to do it.
That's kind of incredible.
Because when you think about it,
it's kind of crazy.
Think about it. Last year, every time he would have gone to the stadium, there would have been fans in the stadium. So he wouldn't have had the chance to do it. This year, they've only played in Milan twice. So this is the first time that I guess he has a chance to come face-to-face with Antonio Conte, right? Because, excuse me, that Antonio Conte has a chance to come face-to-face with Andrea Agnelli. Because there's no fans in the stadium. You know where the directors are sitting. So it's very easy. You're looking right at them. You could do it. You could flip the bird right up to him, and there's not going to be a bunch of people in the way where you're not able to make out him. You could see his unibrow from 40 yards away, no problem anyways.
Also very true, yes.
So that's what it is. It was the fact that I think it was the first time that he had an opportunity to do it, and he did it. Actually, here with us now to issue a statement is the man who the gesture was directed at. Why don't we cut away to none other than Il Presidente himself, President Don Agnelli.
You want to talk about bald Tony Conte? Let me tell you about him. He's still upset because he wanted to leave crooked Inter. After just 1 year, mind you. Just 1 year, he wanted to leave over the summer. Came to Venovo to see me, unannounced, on his hands and knees, begging me for a job. He was willing to do anything, believe me. I wouldn't hire him. I wouldn't hire him back. I already fired him once. He's a convicted match fixer and a loser in tournaments. And I told him, no, he's still upset. So he makes vicious gestures in front of young children towards me. No class, never had it, none whatsoever. He was never lo style Juve, and I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah, that's a bang on response that I think we would have gotten from Don J. Yeah, man. I don't know if Conte really just flipped off Don J like that, you know, just out of nowhere. It's insane, Sam. It's insane.
Shout out to the real Don Agnelli at real Don Agnelli on Twitter. Donald J. Obviously, some metamorphosis of Donald Trump and Andrea Agnelli, of course. And that's what you're not supposed to do, Sam. You don't explain the joke. But in case anyone doesn't go on Twitter, we do have listeners that just tune into the pod like that.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what that is. He actually joined us a year and a half ago, I think in June 2019. If you want to go back and check out his interview with us from back then, it was a lot of fun. But look, it's the randomness for me. It's the fact that it was just out of nowhere and it was totally unprompted, so unnecessary. And you know what? I'm dead on serious. I don't know where, because the bridge is burned now with Juve. He's not gonna make up with Agnelli ever again. You know what I mean?
No.
If the door was ever open to come back,
I'll never say never, but probably
I don't, dude. I really don't think so. I really don't think so. But I'll go a step further and say, I don't know where he goes from this job. If he doesn't win the title this season, I don't know where he goes from here. It feels like he'd probably quit. If he doesn't, okay, he hangs around a little while longer. Say he doesn't win the Scudetto for another year. Where does he go from here? He's not going to take a step down to another club in Italy. He's already managed the national team. I mean, I guess he'd have to go abroad. But he already hated life in England. I don't know. I don't know, man.
I'll bet you he might. I think he might have just peaked, and I think this may be it for him. Of course, I said that now he's going to wind up going to win the Scudetto this year. But look, that's what I think. I don't know about you, but I
don't know. I mean,
I'm not convinced that he'll be able to consistently remain atop the game as a manager and get results.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's obviously a very difficult thing to try to like predict or whatnot, but like, I don't know. I don't think that's that big of a shock statement. I don't know. Maybe not that it would be like expected, but if it were to happen, you know, in the odd rare chance, maybe like that he kind of just like falls off the face of the earth. I don't know. Wouldn't be the most surprising thing one day.
I want to ask you about Napoli, bro. I have another question for you here. How long can we consider Napoli to be in the race so long as they have a game in hand, bro? They have a game in hand. No problem. They still have a game in hand, bro. How many games do they have to lose before we can chalk it up as over finito, no more title race for them? They're currently 12 points behind Milan with a game in hand. They got a game in hand, bro. So if they win that game in hand, if they beat Juve, if they could only just beat Juve, they will then be 9 points behind Milan. They lost.
And that's the next Genoa game, right? That's this weekend.
They are playing this weekend, but it's the return leg of the season. They still have the one game from the month of October.
Yeah, actually, right. Yes, right.
This is
right,
not a reschedule. So let's be clear. The big game between Juve and Napoli, which we will obviously discuss like next week, is huge. Okay, it's a huge game, but it's right. Not the reschedule no. game. That's still
we spoke about it last week. That the correct. Most electric thing would be if the Serie A like just waited till the end to see correct. How much it would matter.
Now, buddy, Goran Pandev, man. Two fucking goals against Napoli.
Legend. That's my
Goran Pandev. Did he not used to play for them? Did he not used to play for Napoli? I believe he did.
Yes. I don't know if he played for Napoli for a while. I think he was owned by that. I don't know how much. I'll do some research.
No, he did play for them. He played sparingly, but he did play for them. I mean, my God. This is unreal. Where did this come from? Genoa don't win games.
The memes about Goran Pandev scoring against Napoli in 2021. Were just impeccable. They were unreal. I was dying of laughter. So simple. Just memes saying Goran Pandev is scoring goals against Napoli in 2021. And just a picture of his face. And like, I can't help but just laugh. I mean, it's so funny. Not in like an insulting way. It's just the meme is funny. Like it's Goran matter, Pandev, matter he's 37 years old. The only league that Goran Pandev could still excel in is the Serie A.
The only top
he's
league.
Not he's
yeah.
not a Goran Pandev. I'm sure he would do well old. In the Macedonian. Looks like he could be 46.
I'm sure he would do well in the Macedonian league. And yeah, he does not look
37. I referred to the top league. I meant top league.
When I think of being 37, I gotta say. The image of Goran Pandev doesn't come into my mind is where I want to be in 13 years.
I'd be very concerned. Yes.
Can you imagine looking like that in 13 years, bro?
And just to be clear, it's not just because like he's losing his hair. Like we're not saying that's not what we're saying.
No.
He looks sickly. He looks disheveled.
He looks sickly, yet he's not thin. He almost looks fat. He's skinny, but he looks fat. And you know what?
He's skinny fat.
I don't think it's a stretch to say that if you were to look like that in 13 years, you would have aged exponentially more than you have in the last 13 years from when you were 11.
Sometimes work stuff, man. You never know.
I'm fucking serious. So let's be honest. Look, Antonio Conte is a fucking—he's a stronzo. Obviously, we've been railing on him for a little while. I already did. I did a very short little Conte imitation there, just a couple of words. So I guess that'll be
do the, one. Everyone needs to hear one.
That'll be the Conte reading for the week. I just did it already. I was gonna say though.
Do a Antonio Conte response to Don J.
Okay, fine. Okay, fine. I could.
Or maybe
that.
Next week if you can't come. I'll up
do
with
it
on the spot.
I could do it on the spot. I'll riff, no problem. But before I do, I just want to say I'm actually giving my Strons of the Week to the collective Napoli team. I'm not going to give it to Gennaro Gattuso, but they have been terrible for 2 months now, almost. They have been terrible for a while.
They were
up there among the teams who hadn't lost a game in the league. Who hadn't lost a game on the pitch, right? There was that forfeit that that was hanging over their heads for a while before they won the appeal. But, dude, they've been losing games left and right. for a while now. They also lost Atalanta in the Coppa today. Atalanta going through to the cup final against Juve is huge. I don't think we need to rail on that.
I just wanted to bring up.
You're allowed to lose to, but they've lost two teams who they should not be losing to for weeks now. And I think they're done in the water. They should be happy to just get into.
And Europe. Sam, on top of it, and on top of it, Gattuso apparently is on the chopping block apparently. And this is what kills me. Okay, this is what kills me. They played games again. Like losing to Atalanta is not something that whatever they should be made fun of or whatever. It's adding to their losing streak. Like oh no, they're obviously a great squad. But you know they lost against Genoa. They beat Spezia in the Coppa, but then they've lost, I believe, two in a row after that for against like Hellas and Juve. Just haven't looked good. And they lost in the Super Coppa.
Juve
well,
was in the Super Coppa, granted, but yeah.
I'm sure you guys spoke about that.
Imagine crying for losing the Super Coppa, man.
I know. But without going on a tangent here, they obviously haven't been great. And the rumor is that Gattuso now is almost pretty much on the chopping block, and that the game against Juve is gonna be big for him.
If he wins, a team goes through a bad run, but when you play
against like a team they're heavily favored to lose against, that's
isn't that
the
crazy?
Big game that
isn't that crazy?
Like, that's look, the one game to save your job.
This is too easy. Oh, fuck, man. People roast Phil about this sort of shit on Twitter all the time. If he heard me saying this, he'd lose his mind. But like, come on, man. Come on. If this is the mentality that you could, if you're ever in a position where you go into a season thinking that you could win a title, okay? And again, maybe some fans are deluded. I don't know. Maybe this isn't internally the goal. But you can't ever really seriously be considered a bona fide contender if you're ever in a position where your manager could save his job with one big win.
In the league.
You know what I mean? At that point, you're too focused on the people above you or your rival. And I don't know. You see it a lot with Lazio and Roma too. Again, great clubs. Certainly within the context of Italian football. Great support. They make the league interesting. But can you ever really see them? I don't know, man. Like last year, Lazio blew it, obviously, kind of after the restart from the month of June. But surely that wouldn't have hurt them as much as losing two derbies to Roma. If they had won two derbies and they had lost every one of their last five games of the season and blown the title, they still would have been pretty. Yeah, you know, they still would have felt okay about the season because they beat Roma twice, right? That's all that really matters. I don't know. It's very.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree. And God bless Gennaro Gattuso, but he's obviously not. I guess he's not as elite as a manager as some of these Napoli fans may have thought he was.
Well, it's World Cup final, and to be fair, I think Napoli is definitely his level. A club of that magnitude is probably where he ought to be, unless or until he proves otherwise. He doesn't have.
You may have just insulted a lot of people.
No, I don't think he'll ever go to. I don't think it's that much of a stretch to say he'll never be the Italian national team manager. I don't think he'll ever manage the likes of Juventus. I mean, he already tried to manage
a big team at Milan.
He tried to manage Milan, right? And it didn't work out, obviously. I don't know that he'll ever, if Milan can kind of sustain the momentum this year and kind of retain their spot among the elites in Italy, I don't think he'll ever wind up going back there. I can't see him getting a big job in England or anything. I could see him going to like a Newcastle in England, you know what I mean? Which was rumored a few months ago, actually, ironically. But
that would have been hilarious.
Would have been.
But can you remember when people were saying Gattuso was the guy that was needed to coach the national team?
No, I don't remember that.
He's gonna make them run. What do you mean you don't remember that?
When were people saying that? No way.
It was like a trend on Twitter for like a couple of days. Someone probably had a tape. Okay, I'm probably acting like it was like a massive thing because it really wasn't. But I remember like a flurry of days where like the hot trend was like, you know, that a team like the Italian national team needs a Gennaro Gattuso because he's got the passion. He has the grinta.
Nobody wonders.
I feel like if you ever have to, if that's your most redeeming,
that isn't how football works, though, right? That's just someone who needs a take. Someone who wants to have a take. Oh yeah, that's an IFTV take, bro. Come on.
It is. I like what they're doing,
but that's a Michael Cantaris take right there. If he ever wants to come on the podcast, I'll welcome him on. But I'll tell him, Brody, your take sucks sometimes, man. I'll say, I don't, well, whatever.
Come on, man. No, but I don't know. That, yeah. I feel like I just shouldn't say more on the subject.
Yeah, IFTV Antonio is welcome to come on this podcast whenever he wants. But I think that they're all welcome to come on. But if they do, we'll fucking put him through the ringer, man. We'll say, come on, no way you really believe that. Anyway, we'll see what happens this weekend. I guess
whenever you're
it's World Cup final. It's World Cup final day in Naples, Sam, this weekend. So.
Yeah, not to insult any coaches or managers or players, but whenever your most redeeming quality, I think, if it's not as, at least tied with some other qualities as a player or as a manager, like if you're very skillful and like I don't know who I can think of, but like someone who's very skillful but can also have a lot of grinta, okay? If that's up there, your passion's tied with a lot of other good qualities, good manager, good player, okay, it's one thing. But when that's your redeeming quality, oh, you know, he's a good manager. He's got that passion. I don't think you got it, man. I don't think you got it.
I tend to agree. I think it's too easy a take. It's because he was a crazy player. It's because he was a psychopath on the pitch. That's it. It was because he played a certain way, and we just assume that it translates into other areas of life. You know what I mean? Like I bet you people think that like, oh, don't piss off Gattuso if you know, don't bump into him in a cafe line or something.
He does have a temper, no? Doesn't he? I think that's documented off the pitch.
That is true. That is, you know what?
I also saw a wild story about Gattuso that apparently he ate like a slug. He ate like a did you see this story?
This is unreal. Yeah, at Milan, right?
I don't know if it was at Milan.
It was at Milan, yeah. So I remember the story real quick. I don't know how this even comes up. It's probably like
some. I saw it recently.
Some of the things I riff on this podcast that just pop into my head and are so random. I don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows where they come from. Least of all me. But this is like this is one of those things. I don't know how this comes to be, but apparently someone said in a dressing room, eat this slug, and he said, "Fine, fuck you. I'll do it if you all chip in $500." And at the end,
no. I think they said,
"Well, paid off the
some
of the trainers." So that's
exactly, a hero play right exactly, there. Very hero play.
Before we get to some other action, real quick, and just some heroes, Stronzi of the week, some people and moments and things that quickly stood out. I do have to go on a Conte riff. I did a Conte riff. Excuse me. I did promise it. So. Hey, Andrea, you don't want to give me the money? Here, this is for you. I give you the finger. Hey, fuck you, Anto. Fuck you, Andrea. Andrea Agnelli. Yeah, okay, I pull it away. Okay, I pull it with the finger. Okay, the cake is good. It's good, the cake. I tried the cake. All right.
Your impersonation is a lot of
Well, it's spot
it's,
on.
And it's accurate. And it's accurate.
It's spot accurate. On. I'm not making this shit up. All right. Okay. Atalanta through to the Copa final. Two goals from Matteo Pessina. Possibly a hero for me this week. Another hero is Papu Gomez scoring a banger for Sevilla. Yeah. I don't know if you saw this. Holy shit. And bringing the Papu dance to Spain. So we're not going to be talking about Papu much anymore because he's not involved in the game, but he's still a Calcio hero, man. He's still a Calcio figure. So great to see him still tearing it up. But what a goal. Like it was maybe what, 25 yards out, top right corner, probably like the top of the net. It was an incredible goal to put the icing on the cake in that game for Sevilla. But again, the fact he did the Papu dance, and he's so short still. He's so short. Everyone's
still, he didn't grow.
They look like they're so just with all these other teammates look like they're with their little brother. So shout out to Papu, but shout out to Matteo Pessina, man. They sold Papu, their best player for the past couple of years. I believe it might have been Carlo Garganese on Twitter who was pointing out that they sold Kuzewski and Ahmed Traore for 85 million. They had 7 appearances combined between the two of them. They sold Papu, and here comes Matteo Pessina to score 2 goals and send them through to the Copa final. And you know what? God bless. God bless them, man. Gasperini is going to enjoy that win against Juve. Tends to have Juve's number at times. Drew them this season. So that'll be a great final. And I think it'll be a nice change of pace from the fucking Juve-Napoli finals that we've been seeing so much over the past couple of years.
Yeah, it'll be very fun to watch. Yeah, looking forward to it for sure.
And I'm happy for Pierluigi Golini as well, who I absolutely love. Okay. Have you got any heroes or Stronzi of the week that you want to get to? I realize that we've discussed so little football this week, but heroes and Stronzi are kind of going to be where we just kind of give a couple of nods to some other news and things that happened. I have a handful here. So if you have fewer. That's fine.
Give me. Go ahead. Start. Well, I mean, Antonio Conte for me is obviously number one stronzo, but you go ahead.
Well, who's your hero then?
I gave one earlier, but I'm trying to think. I have my finger on a few. Yeah, I have my finger on a few, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, all right. So I shouted out Pessina, but I'm also going to shout out Vincenzo Di Italiano. Obviously, yes. Every week he always has a little bit of a head start because he's got an incredible name and because he makes us laugh. But he beats Sassuolo. He beats Sassuolo, and Spezia are currently looking pretty solid, man. They are currently in 16th place, which I understand is not by any stretch of the imagination something that people think of when they think of solid, you know, solidity, prime position, good shit. But we got to remember, this is a team that's playing, I think, their first ever. Are they in Serie A for the first time? If not, first time in a super long time.
I feel like we may have pointed that out earlier in the year, but we're always wrong, so who knows?
We're always fucking wrong, yeah. But they're currently. Look, they're 6 points clear of relegation right now, and they beat Sassuolo, who are a very good team, who had a great start to the season. And you know what? We talk about Vincenzo Di Italiano being a cool manager, who seems to be playing the game quite well. Well, Roberto De Zerbi is another one of those guys. We discussed this last week. You know, he's kind of usurped Eusebio Di Francesco as the cool, hip, young Sassuolo manager who's got his stands, I guess, who are adamant that he's the next big thing. But hey, fucking Vincenzo Di Italiano, man, came in and big win for his side. That's definitely one that they wouldn't have expected. And now there are rumors. Okay, so yeah. I know what you're gonna say. I'll let you get to it because you're the one who sent this to me. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so they're now subject to foreign investment from the U.S. again, and it's crazy. I wonder why Americans are targeting specifically the Italian league because these clubs are, I guess. Well, I guess not. I guess I know they're very these obviously mid table to I guess a mid table team now to whatever lower half of the table team. Like
I think I know why it's because the Premier League teams
listen,
are too.
I'm not done. They're not worth as much. I'm not getting into a philosophical thing. I'm getting into an actual practical thing. They're not worth as much, but maybe some of these Americans are starting to see the upside of the league and that. You know, if we can get enough money into this club and this league looks promising, it's competitive and TV rights deals are getting better. Listen, and expanding more globally. No, it's just it's looking like the Italian league, I guess, is looking like a good investment for these American. Their dollars were, I don't know, their dollar is worth more here than it is in here. Sorry, I say here as if we're in Italy, worth more in the euro than it is in pounds, and teams are a lot more affordable. And you know,
I would say also
was Spezia target? I want to know why Spezia was targeted on top of
a couple of reasons. A couple of reasons why. First of all, there's a lot of wealthy people in the United States and everyone loves sports. So, and football is growing in the U.S. So interest in the sport is growing. So if you're a wealthy guy who wants to own a sport team, more people want football. Okay, cool. There's that. Boom. Check. There's also the fact that, as you said, it's more affordable. There's the exchange rate, but also a team in the Premier League is completely unaffordable
I didn't. I didn't need an exchange rate.
But generally, you'll when you see a takeover of a Prem team now, we're not talking about the type of money that some of these people that are buying Italian teams currently have. We're not talking about Kyle Kraus. We're not talking about Kyle Kraus and Rocco Commisso. We're talking about
I think Rocco. I don't know how much they're worth, to be honest. But yeah,
is he a billionaire? He could be worth.
I think Rocco Commisso was a billionaire.
Holy fuck! Is a billionaire. Well. I feel like
you,
like
you when still I, need more than that. You need more than that. Like to,
it's crazy, I'm but not, it feels like it. Yeah, I mean, you need oligarch money, man. So there's that, and then the fact is, in Germany, there's also a pretty interesting league. There's a whole fan ownership structure. So I guess people do see the upside in Italy is the fact that the teams are a little bit cheaper, and I think it could be a bit of a bandwagon effect too, where just they see other Americans getting into it as well. So why Spezia? Yeah, I don't know, man. Cool project. Maybe the guy actually follows the game and he actually appreciates on a technical level. I have no idea, but it could also be the fact that
I know I just find it hard to believe.
Get involved with a team that is newly promoted and that could, you know, that has more upside. Yeah. Than, say getting involved with Genoa, you know, who are in the same region.
But I just find it hard to believe that like your first instinct would be like, yeah, like Spezia, they're doing well. Like
like you said, like cool project. But what did the guy decide over the last 3 months that he wanted to buy a football team? Was this not like a big planned, calculated thing? Like, is it really just because like Spezia is showing good form now? And you know, like probably
that'd
not.
Awesome. That'd be awesome.
So there's that. It'd be a baller move for probably a bad businessman if that's how he makes his decisions and he's just on a whim like that.
But I love how we're just labeling another American owner as the bad businessman, like we did from Rocky B, like before his side had even played a game. So yeah. Anyway,
Vincenzo Di Tagliano. Were we wrong? No, not that he's a bad
businessman.
No, not that he's a bad businessman. He's a billionaire. That he's a bad football club owner.
And
wishes himself happy birthday on Twitter, or forces the Twitter admin to wish him a happy birthday.
You know what that is? He didn't force them to. They're just.
It's ruled by fear.
Nah, they're just gagging on his dick. They're just gagging on it, man. They just
I think it's ruled by fear. Maybe he'll say fire the Twitter admin if they don't.
No chance. He's fucking 75 years old. He doesn't know. Speaking of Benito, I've got another story. This isn't a Hero of Thrones of the Week moment. This is an Only in Italy moment. I don't know if you saw this. Benito Mussolini's great-grandson is currently playing in the youth team at, Lazio, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, this is too perfect. It's too fucking perfect. I'm sorry. Listen. It had to be Lazio. Need we say more?
Yeah, it's too perfect. I mean... It's I'm sure some people didn't enjoy your joke too much, but it is kind of perfect.
Here's the kicker. He's related to Benito Mussolini through his mother. His mother is Mussolini's granddaughter. The kid goes by Mussolini. On the pitch, I think he actually uses his father's name, but his mother was so insistent. No, and this is super uncommon in Italy. Naming customs are such that you do not have hyphenated names like you have in some other parts of the world. I don't know, like in England, whatever.
No.
Right, Phillips? No. So she fought for this in the courts to make sure that her son would be mocked for the rest of his life as long as he did anything. Poor kid never did anything wrong. He's a good footballer. Good for him. Okay, whatever. He's playing for Lazio. Yeah, his father was the founder of fascism. It would be a great story if he made...
Not his father.
Excuse me. His great-grandfather was the father of fascism.
His father.
It would be... No. His father did not found fascism. His father was an almost equally... For the record, his father was almost an equally despicable human being who used to fuck minor prostitutes as part of a very public police and politician scandal, which was turned into a Netflix series, which I encourage you all to watch. It's called Baby. It's incredible. Look, if the guy winds up playing for Lazio and scores a goal and goes sotto la curva and Mussolini,
but poor him, dude,
can you imagine a guy with Mussolini on his jersey running over to the curva and guys with eagle tattoos going save, the shaved heads hugging the guy?
My point is, would he?
Of course would he would.
Would he be so uncomfortable knowing that?
No, adrenaline, man. He's fucking going to the curva. He's jumping over the head. He's jumping over the boards, over the advertisement.
The Associated Press would get a nice picture of that.
They're
going to
be all over it. And it's going to happen. And we're going to talk about it on this podcast in 2 years. It's going
to
happen.
You have to think that he'd be smart enough to maybe like put a nickname on the back of his kit.
Doesn't matter. Even if he doesn't put his name on his jersey and his mom disowns him.
For picture purposes.
He'll still run to the curva and people will... And well, you know what? Yeah. I'll tell you what, it's still going to be great Twitter banter. It's going to be fantastic Twitter banter. So there's that. That's a thing that happened. I have a stronzo as well that I want to get to. I'll let you get to your last hero before I get to mine. I think we'll wrap it up because this is actually another Only in Italy moment. And it's a fucking incredible story. And it's one that I know you're aware of. Nick, you're hero. You're just looking at me like a fucking deer in the headlights.
Oh no, I thought you were gonna say the story first.
Have you got another Hero of Thrones, or are we gonna get to the story to take it into the
No, I don't. I was looking for one, to be honest with you.
Okay, it's fine. Did you you know, maybe just give it to Gattuso for once eating a slug. And
peeling. I was talking so quickly in the middle of the episode. I know I gave one and I forgot it now.
I'm a fucking degenerate then, man. Because
yeah,
I
so am I because I forgot.
I don't remember you. I don't remember you saying it.
You're starting to rub off on me. I just talk. I don't remember.
Fucking ridiculous degenerate. So yeah, let's just get to this last story here, and I don't want to butcher this, so I will pull up the article from the other day. So this is, again, we already gave Heroes of Stronzo. Let's just chalk this up as an only in Italy moment, and we'll leave it up to interpretation if this guy's a hero or a Stronzo. If he's a hero, it's certainly for giving us an unreal story. City of Chi. We're going to go to City of Chi here. Okay, Novara's president got into some hot water this week because he was caught with 200,000 euros in cash in his card. I'm going to read the article. The president of City of Chi side Novara has resigned after he was caught with an envelope containing 200,000 euros cash that he was unable to explain.
First question.
The problem is,
how does an envelope hold 200,000 euros cash?
That is an excellent question. Remind me, what's
the biggest bill in euros? Because they can't have thousand euro bills, do they? Not a thousand euro bill.
It's 500 euro. There's a 500 euro bill. There's a 500 euro note. So I don't know. It might have been a giant envelope, like one of those letter size.
Yeah,
ones.
I know.
Just packed to the brim. Marcello Cianci. Sorry.
Quickly, yeah, no. That would be like 400 bills. So
quick
that's
math,
a lot, man. I wonder how big of a.
That's it's like four. It's like four stacks when you go to the bank. It's like four rolls. So that's a lot, man. So Marcello Cianci had been in charge of the club since late 2019 and has tendered his resignation. Now, here's the question. Why does he have to resign from his job if what he claimed is true? He claimed that the 200,000 euro in cash was not related to his job. To which I say, why resign? Why resign in that case? So according to La Gazzetta dello Sport, the 50-year-old was stopped in his car by police in Reggio Calabria, which is, of course, this is low-hanging fruit. My Calabrese family is going to get mad at me for saying this, but it's the home of the 'Ndrangheta, the largest crime syndicate in the world right now, larger than the Sicilian Mafia. And it is a very long way from Novara, which is close to the French border. No clue what he's doing in Reggio Calabria with 200,000 euro in cash. But anyway, so he was stopped by the Carabinieri, who found he had an envelope containing 200,000 euro in cash. What a story those cops have. They pulled over a guy for fucking running a red light, and the guy has 200,000 euro in cash. The envelope was hidden inside a box full of food in the SUV. That's strike two on the only in Italy moment. Strike one was the fact that he had 200,000 euro in cash in Calabria. Second strike was that it was hidden in a box full of food. Cianci was unable to give a proper explanation for the presence of the cash, so the sum was confiscated and an investigation started. The biggest tragedy in all this is that the money was confiscated. That is absurd. So I didn't know this was a thing. If you can't explain where you got this money from, or any money that you have, can authorities confiscate it from you? What the fuck? What kind of Orwellianism have we fallen into here?
No, you're obviously being ridiculous. The cops obviously have to exude judgment as to what's a big of sum of money. Like if you have $20 flying around in your back seat, you don't have to say that you got it for change when you went to go pick up pizza.
What's a lot? Is it? I think there's like an anti-money laundering rule that anything above 10K has to get flagged in financial institutions. So I don't know. Is the guy resigning if he has 11,000 euro in cash?
It's a very unspecific claim. I have no idea what you just referred to there. Like
I'm referring to anti-money laundering laws, but I don't know. This obviously smashes a $10,000 barometer.
Yeah, 20-fold. I mean,
dude. Just real quick,
crazy man, crazy.
So Novara.
Do we have an update since then though? Because it's at least a week old now.
It's almost a week, but yeah, just real quick. So final little closing point here. Novara Calcio released a statement insisting the situation had nothing to do with the club, and this was entirely a personal matter regarding Cianci. So they threw him under the bus. Who knows what the fuck he was going to do now?
And like you said, why resign?
Why resign? Man, Novara used to be in Serie A. I remember they were in Serie A the year that Juve won the title, I think. But yeah, holy crap.
That rings a bell, yeah.
Just an incredible story. Just an incredible story. Again, so that's a thing that happened this week. There. Nothing else to say for your entertainment. That's a fucking fantastic story. You have an update on it? Or are you looking it up right now? It looks like you are.
I'm looking now quickly, but I don't see anything.
You'll probably get a bunch of like Sun UK and Daily Mail articles about it with with punny titles. Yeah, I don't know. Anything? Nothing at all?
No, nothing.
So I guess we'll have to update. Oh, I think this, to be honest, to be fair, I think that's going to be the extent of it. I mean, the guy resigned. He's not involved in Calcio anymore. It's now
and now he's either going to die or he's going to fall off the face of the earth.
Well, I mean, he will die or eventually.
Maybe that is dying.
Well, he will die eventually.
He'll be killed, maybe.
He'll have a heart attack. I'm saying that with air bunnies.
He'll move to Austria.
That reminds me of a great.
He'll move to the Alps in Austria.
He'll move to the Alps, like a Bond villain. It reminds me of a scene. It reminds me of a scene in Gomorra. This is a spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Gomorra, I'm giving you 5 seconds to turn this off. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There's this one scene.
Fastest 5 seconds ever.
There's this one scene where Gennaro Savastano, the boss, who winds up becoming the boss of the syndicate that the show's about, kills a business associate by cutting his brakes. The guy gets into the car. He thinks he's in deep shit. He thinks if he starts his car, it's going to fucking blow up, because that's what you tend to expect from these sorts of guys. He starts the car, no problem. The tension is at an all-time high. He starts driving. He's going downhill. They met atop a hill. He tries braking, slowing down. He can't fucking brake. The guy drives off a cliff and dies. That's what's going to happen to this poor soul. Knock on wood. Watch. You watch.
Not wishing death on anyone.
No, of course not. Is his no? If the man's SUV winds up in the Mediterranean, you know, whatever, it would be an homage to it'd be life imitating art. Okay, listeners, thanks for tuning in. Nick, good to have you back. A lot of fun. Get at us on all platforms at Calcio Podcast on TikTok, on Instagram, and on Snapchat. Again, all social media platforms to follow all updates on when we post new episodes, but also to see our fucking memes and shit, see our latest five aside. We finally got a little visual together. So every time we got a five aside, now we'll
post. You never put a poll up for it though. You fucked that up.
I actually, did I not?
Yeah, you fucked that up.
I put a poll on Instagram. I did put a poll on Instagram. I did. And the people have spoken, I won. But it wasn't by much, to be fair. But hey, fucking democracy, baby. Majority rules. More people thought that I had a better five aside last time out, so better luck.
You probably voted with all five of your Instagram accounts to sway the vote.
I've never swayed an election. I have no idea what you're talking about. Alessandro Van de Peppel, if you're listening to this, please turn off. Alessandro Van de Peppel's probably losing his mind right now. He could have been an Atalanta fan right now, pulling for his team in the fucking Champions League again.
And you fucked it up.
Final, and instead he's losing his mind over the fact that his team can't even build a proper fucking stadium. Okay, anyway, listeners, again, all platforms, get at us. Thanks for listening to this 114th episode. And Gentiletti, thanks, buddy. Listeners, we'll catch you soon. Until next time.
Ciao.
Ciao. L'unico rimedio. Oh, VVS è la collana. Ghiaccio sulla nuova grana. La portiamo a dritto al vento. Voglio avere tutto ciò che non ho avuto. Basta farci un fischio. Poi a chi l'ha visto, yeah, yeah. Oh, sono in giro in la savana. Sono un figlio di puttana. Sto seguendo la missione. Ora, oh, quella Dio quanto costa. Brividi a quelli vitti. Mi sono fatto gli ossa, baby. Oh, non mi fermo. Ti voglio vedere steso. Cazzo, riprendo. Voglio patrimonio esteso. Attico in centro dal quartiere. Bendo quel ricognizione per rifornimento. Questa B vuole il team, vuole il drip, yeah. Oh, Totiana si muove da stripper. Non sapevamo un cazzo di business, io Michael Jordan a Vascotti Pippen. Vuole una borsa nuova, io sotto gli occhi ho le borse Goya. Chiedo qualcosa che non arriva, sì la mia vita è messa alla prova. Oh, VVS la collana, come brilla la collana. Oh, baby, no che non ti mento, mentre quello sbirro, l'unico rimedio. Oh, 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 VVS la collana, come brilla la collana. Glielo spingo forte, che mi dice basta. Glielo spingo forte, che mi dice okay, basta. Oh, VVS la collana, come brilla la collana. Popolare sono al centro. Oh, baby, no che non ti mento. Mento quello sbirro, l'unico rimedio. Oh, VVS la collana, come brilla la collana. Popolare sono Plaza. Glielo spingo forte, che mi dice basta. Glielo spingo forte, che mi dice basta. Caught up out of Benjamin, put up out of bus down. Put up in the rose now. Crank it up, it's no sound. I'ma take your whole round. I'm flying out of town. Flying on the PJ, yeah, 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 yeah. Dripping in the CC, yeah, 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 yeah. Fucking on Kiki, yeah, 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 yeah. I'm smacking while I'm pulling on a long hair. Them cold feel like polar bear. Sipping codeine like a Bella. I'm a slimy nigga, I can never catch. Money in the sky, throw